Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
Let's talk about inflation in America. The consumer price index was up 0.3% month over month in December, and that was up 3.4% year over year. That 3.4% increase in December was up from 3.1% year over year in the prior month. Housing, which is already the most unaffordable in history and out of reach of most first-time buyers, and yet owner's equivalent rent was up 6.3% year over year in this latest report. Okay, so maybe you say it's just headline, not core. The core rate of inflation was up 3.9% year over year, which was down just slightly from the 4% rate seen in November year over year measurement. So both the headline and core rate of inflation are not anywhere close to where the Fed can claim victory over inflation. And the sad truth is that prices are already unaffordable for 60% of Americans who are living paycheck to paycheck. Prices are still rising further out of reach and at a faster pace on the headline. And inflation is 70% above the Fed's target and rising further away from that inflation goal. In this scenario, how is it possible for the Fed to pencil in 3 rate cuts this year? That's unbelievable. But let's just say that happens. Inflation is close to their goal, and they're ready to cut rates 3 times this year. All right, I might buy that. But how does Wall Street pen in or try to etch in stone 6 rate reductions in the cost of money this year? For the October through December 2023 period, which is fiscal Q1 of 2024, the budget deficit totaled $510 billion. Our annual deficit is on pace for a $2 trillion plus pile of red ink. And this deficit, $2 trillion plus, is occurring in an environment of relative peacetime, supposed full employment, a soft landing in the economy, and Goldilocks and gobbledygook happy talk about how prosperous the U.S. economy is doing. The Inflation Reduction Act was supposed to reduce inflation and cut hundreds of billions of dollars from the deficit. Well, so much for good intentions from the government. In sharp contrast, inflation rates are rising and the debt is skyrocketing. And because of inflation and supply of bonds and the need to issue this massive amount of debt, the interest paid on that debt has surged. Turning to the economic data front, let's see what the Empire State Manufacturing Index survey for January had to say about the current state of the manufacturing recession. We are in a 14-month manufacturing recession in this country. This particular survey that came out today says that manufacturing is getting worse, not better. In fact, manufacturing in this particular time in this country is close to a depression. Manufacturing activity in the New York region shrank significantly, according to the January survey. After falling 24 points last month, the General Business Conditions Index shed another 29 points this month, coming in at minus 43.7, its lowest reading since May of 2020, which was in the depths of the COVID outbreak. The new orders index fell 38 points to minus 49.4, and the shipments index fell 25 points to minus 31.3. pointing to a large decline in both orders and shipments. And the employment and the average work week declined in this latest report. This latest reading on manufacturing on the New York region is even lower than at any time during the severe 2007 through 2009 recession. The credit crisis, the Great Recession, the housing collapse. So prices that are rising faster on top of inflation that is already intolerable is pernicious for consumers. And that is especially true in the context of an economy that is faltering. This is what we have now. This is our economy, one marred by stubbornly high inflation that is accelerating further away from the target, and a manufacturing depression. That's what we have. And in that scenario, where we're waxing slowly towards a service sector recession and an overall recession, in that environment, the market, the stock market, is the most overvalued in history, and not by a little bit, by a whole lot. The market is overvalued, extremely overvalued, on the following metrics: median PE ratio, price to gap earnings, price to operating earnings, price to forward earnings, price to sales, price to book, price to cash flow, price to dividend yield. And the equity, on top of all that, the equity risk premium is zero, meaning the earnings yield on stocks is the same as a treasury bill. So you're not getting paid anything. The inverse of the PE ratio is the earnings yield. That's the earnings yield you get from owning a stock. You're not getting paid anything for the extra risk to own equities over bonds. A 42% drop, a 42% drop in the S&P 500 from today's closing price would bring it to a fair value in relationship to the underlying economy, according to historical readings. For those who don't want to do the math, that would be 2,737 on the S&P 500. Yes, you heard me correctly. I didn't stutter and I didn't misspeak. 2,737 would bring the total market cap of equities to 100% of GDP, which is historically pretty rich, but let's just leave it at that. Let's just say that's starting a fair value. And that is both the danger and the opportunity for investors. The danger is for the buy and hold, soft landing pablum crowd who just keeps thinking nothing will ever happen that's wrong to their portfolios or to the economy. And the opportunity is for those who have the courage and intelligence to identify when the grand reconciliation of asset prices resumes. And I say resumes because the process of this reconciliation started at the end of 2021. That is when the major averages peaked, by the way. They're all down from there. Every one of the major averages are down. And for those in the year-to-date crowd, the Russell 2000 is down 6% so far in 2024. It's not been a good start for 2024. So what I protect against is from bear markets caused by recessions, not for every correction in the stock market. We're having a normal correction right now. That's how I see it. But it's going to be sometime soon in our near future, a correction that turns into a brutal bear market predicated on the fact that we are entering in a recession. That's when earnings plunge. I mean, that recessions are when the damage really gets done to stocks. And that is what my inflation, deflation, economic cycle model is built to identify: when a recession is coming, when it's around the corner. I have 20 such indicators to rely on, and none is more important than the financial conditions index and credit spreads. Both remain quiescent even today, even after this recent two-day sell-off. However, I monitor them constantly so I can determine when I need to own the four horsemen of the economic apocalypse: treasury bonds, cash, the US dollar, and shorts. That is the only way to go if you want to protect and profit during recessions. That is where we're headed. In the meantime, We own a small stake in the best sectors of the market as we approach a recession, such as gold and low volatility investments. And we hold a very large position in treasury bonds right now that pay about 4.5% while we wait for the chaos to really begin. There is just no better way to go.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.